Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll go right to the guest line where we are joined by Gary Myers, author of Brady vs. Belichick, The Dynasty Debate, available now on Amazon, Goodreads, or wherever books are sold. Mr. Myers, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Great. We're good, Gary.
You're here with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. And my first question right out the gates is one of the most interesting things I think in your book is Mo Lewis talking about the famous, infamous hit on Drew Bledsoe that jump-started the career of one Tom Brady. And I don't know if victim shaming is the right word, but he kind of puts it on Drew Bledsoe, basically, for the reason he got hit so badly and kind of jump-started everything. Were you surprised to hear that?
Not really, because I knew that Mo had been very bitter over the years because he feels Jet fans are blaming him for Tom Brady and the Patriots dynasty, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, guys. I mean, Drew should have run out of bounds or he should have gone down. All Mo was doing was his job, which is trying to prevent Bledsoe from picking up a first down. It was a 10-3 game. I think like 5 minutes left or something like that. And the Jets were up, and it was a 3rd and 10, and Drew couldn't find a receiver, so he takes off. And Mo was running from waiting for him to kind of make a right turn and run out of bounds. Instead, he made a left turn and tried to turn it up. And even in the way the league is today, and, you know, Ted, you know this as well as anybody, that if you breathe on a quarterback, they'll throw a flag. Mm-hmm. They should really be wearing red jerseys out there to leave no doubt. But even today, that would not be deemed a dirty hit. I mean, it was vicious, and Jet players on the opposite sideline heard it. And I know, Ted, you said it was the loudest. I think I quoted you in the book saying it was the loudest hit you've ever heard. But there was nothing illegal about it. And clearly, you know, Jet fans were happy when he made the tackle at the time. If you had told them that 20 years later, Brady would leave New England with 6 Super Bowl championships and the Jets would still only have Super Bowl III, I don't think anybody would have believed that at that point in time.
Gary, it was, guys, it was the loud. I've never heard anything like it. It was a vicious, vicious hit, and just the sound would tell you as much. But, Gary, let's get right to it, man. All right. I got crushed for my opinions on this. I'm curious what you think. We were part of that Vice special that was that three-show kind of Brady versus Belichick, who was more responsible. And so, you know, through all your research and talking to people, who was in that relationship between Brady and Belichick, who was the driver and who was the passenger in that relationship? Or are they both equally, getting credit for what happened here?
No, I mean, my opinion is it can't be equal. And, based on the people that I spoke to, and it was a lot of people, it's Brady. But that's not to minimize, obviously, Belichick's responsibility, especially early on when, you know, he drafted him, even though it was Dick Rabine's suggestion. You know, Belichick still had to make the pick, and then he kept him as a 4-string quarterback. He kept him when Drew was healthy 2 months later. So, you can't really slight Belichick for his influence on the dynasty. I think what's really happened is there's some recency bias involved here where, you know, Tom goes on to win a Super Bowl in Tampa in his first year and Belichick gets fired after four seasons without Brady in New England, and people go, wow, that just proves it. It was all Brady all the time. We knew it. I just think what they did separately is irrelevant to the argument. That my book is really based on their contributions when they were together. I think that's the thing we have to make judgment on, not what they did separately. And so I came up with, you know, my own formula, my own way of doing it. And, you know, I don't want to give away the number on the show, but, you know, it's Brady, but not by a landslide. Maybe in a presidential election, the numbers I came up would be a landslide, but not in this, especially when those who were taking the, you know, post-New England years for Brady into consideration and the post-Brady years in New England into consideration. I think if you factor that in, you know, most people would say it was 90% Brady just because they're looking at what they did separately. But I have it much, much closer than that.
Gary, you get a chance to speak to so many different people in New York as well as with the Patriots nationally as well. That's one of the fun aspects of the book that I enjoyed personally. And what would you say through all those different conversations with executives, former players, coaches, what would you say that you learned about Belichick and or Brady that surprised you or caught you off guard the most?
I mean, there were some things that I was surprised about, but, you know, even though I worked at the Daily News in New York all those years, I felt like the Patriots were almost our third team because the rivalry with the Jets, you know, going back to the Parcells days, and then certainly with Belichick going up there, I covered a lot of their games and the two Super Bowls against the Giants. So I felt I went into this whole project with a lot of institutional knowledge. You know, having been around the Patriots, it covered so many of their playoff games that, and I had done the Brady Manning book, so I got to know Tom really well during that period of time. I think the thing that really surprised me is that, and there were two distinct dynasties, the first 10 years, the second 10 years, and there weren't many, you know, crossovers from one to the other, but it seemed to me that Tom never changed the way he was in the locker room. And I think that really ingratiated himself with his teammates, that despite all his accomplishments, he was still the same guy. Now, I think he's changed now, you know, since he stopped playing. But yeah. I really believe that he tried to remain the same guy throughout. And, you know, Devin McCourty told me a story. You know, when he was drafted, he bumped into Tom at a mini camp his rookie year. And Tom came over and introduced himself to him. And he goes, you know, I think I know who you are, you know. And Tom, you know, was saying, oh, you know, you're a first-round pick. I'm really glad you're around. I think you can really help me. And Devin went home, or maybe just to the rookie hotel that night, and he called his mom, all excited. Mom, Tom Brady knew who I was. You know, and I think just Tom had that, you know, kind of humble persona around his teammates that you didn't know that he had, you know, towards the end had won six Super Bowls. I was kind of impressed by that. And then Belichick never really changed the way he treated Tom or any other players. And Ted, you know, as well as anybody that the way he treated players, it wasn't exactly with a lot of respect and courtesy and caring and compassion. And, you know, he never really changed that. I really felt that when I learned a lot about Belichick is that I think once a guy left the Patriots and retired and came back, he greeted him with open arms. But he was just so wary of becoming close to any of his players because he knew one day the ending would not be pretty. And so he didn't want it to be an emotional decision. And so he divorced himself emotionally from his players when he had them. And now he tries to be a great guy when they come back. And I don't know that that always works. It's kind of hard to forget how you got treated.
Gary Myers, author of Brady vs. Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. Mr. Myers, what do you think of what Bill Belichick's been doing over the last, I don't know, 10 months or so, both in terms of his personal life and his professional life at UNC?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I was really surprised that after he got fired by the Patriots, and let's not make any mistake about it, you know, despite how they tried to frame it at the time, based on what they've said since, and I thought at the time, Bill definitely got fired by Kraft, and the animosity that's come out since then is, to me, it's kind of embarrassing for everybody, but I was really surprised Bill didn't get a job in the NFL. I thought at the time, and I wrote at the time, I thought he was a perfect fit for Jerry Jones in Dallas because they were both kind of at the same point in their lives where all they were interested in doing was trying to win. And Jerry didn't go for it. And, you know, I have a passage in my book where Dean Spanos of the Chargers called up Jimmy Johnson to kind of quiz him about Belichick. This is like a month, well, not even a month after he got fired, because it was before Harbaugh was hired. And Jimmy's trying to convince Spanos to hire Belichick. And Spanos is going, but look how old he is. And Jimmy's saying, well, what's the difference? He's still got passion for the game. And if he can get you a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, you know, what do you care how long he stays for when most coaches get fired after 3-4 years anyway? And he couldn't convince them, and then he went and hired Harbaugh, which is, you know, working out well for him. But it just goes to show that, you know, Belichick made a lot of enemies while he was winning a lot. And when it came time to try to call in any favors, there was nobody really to call because he didn't treat people well on the way up. You know what they say, you get to see the same people on the way up as you see on the way down. And he got stuck having to go to North Carolina at the most volatile time in college sports history with the NILs and the transfer portal. I mean, we all know Bill's a smart guy, and he'll adjust, but whether he's going to be able to adjust quickly enough and convince his kids to come and play for him, I don't know. He's got to get a quarterback, and maybe things will fall into place. As far as his personal life, I'm not passing judgment on another man's life, but I have two daughters who are older than Jordan Hudson. And I can only imagine what I would, I mean, you know what I'm going to say.
Yep,
that
yep, yep.
If any of them ever came home with a 73-year-old man, I mean, my daughters are in their early 30s, and if that ever happened, I'd throw him out of the house. And after I threw him out of my house,
there you go.
I don't get it. I just don't get it.
All right.
No, but each his own, you know.
Gary, last question for us. You wrote a book on Bill Parcells, Once a Giant, a story of victory, tragedy, and life after football. And Bill Parcells just got inducted into the Patriots Pro Football Hall of Fame this past weekend. A lot of people think that there's similarities between the two. I played for both of them. I think they couldn't be more different.
Yeah, I agree.
Could you just kind of, in a minute or so, just kind of give your impression of the two men, what the how they relate to each other?
Yeah, first of all, the book was not just about Parcells. There was a lot of Parcells in it, but it was about the 86 Giants and their life after football, the Super Bowl team. But, of course, I agree with you. You know, they played off each other really well, and they were a great tandem, you know, probably as good tandem as has ever been in the NFL. You know, there was a trio with the Giants in another era with Lombardi and Landry, and then they both worked for Jim Lee Howell, but Lombardi and Landry on the same staff was pretty good also. But you know, Bill is just a personable guy. And I know, Teddy, which of the two you enjoyed playing for more. Parcells was fun. You know, he was a taskmaster, but he was fun. And I think he was compassionate and he cared about his players. I don't think Bill cared about his players enough. And Bill, you know, Parcells did not win anything without Belichick. So clearly he was very instrumental in his two Super Bowls with the Giants. And even the one he got to in New England is when Belichick was on staff for that 1 year. But if I had a choice, I'll put it like this, because obviously I don't have a choice of who I wanted to play for. But I did have a choice at times of who I wanted to cover. And I would cover Parcells 101 times out of 100 if I had a choice of the two to cover.
That's Gary Myers, author of Brady vs. Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. It's out now, available on Amazon and anywhere you get books. Mr. Myers, appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Gary.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
See you, Gary. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to touch on something he said and he ended with there that I want to clarify. So I don't care as much who he'd like to cover, because whatever, reporters, no one cares about reporters. They tell us that all the time on the text line and the Twitch line. But what Gary Myers thinks about what Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick think of their players, that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.